RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Hello, my listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, and Focus for Ukraine, Headline Newspaper, and News in Brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. President Joko Widodo asked to submit the candidate name of the NI commander. Vice President Yusuf Kalla affirmed international pressure continues over Rohingya refugees. Tourism Minister Arif Yahya praises Mideast tourists. Now the news in detail. An Indonesian Democratic Party of Stargill legislator Hasanuddin has called on President Joko Widodo to submit the name of a candidate for Indonesian military TNI commander to the House of Representatives to undergo screening and to replace General Muldoko, who is going to get retired on August 1st. He said in Jakarta on Tuesday, in reference to the TNI law, a TNI commander is appointed and dismissed by the President after gaining political approval from the House, and a new TNI commander, hopeful, is to be recommended at least 20 days before the predecessor ends his term of office. Hasanuddin said General Muldoko was to end his tenure on August 1st, but the President should submit the name of his successor by June 19th, at the latest because the House would go on recess on June 10th until early August. He said, as quoted by Kompas.com, referring to the law, if the previous TNI commander was from the Navy and the incumbent from the Army, the next should be from the Air Force turn. Vice President Yusuf Kalla said on Wednesday that international community had continued to put pressure on the Myanmarese government for its discriminatory policies against Rohingya Muslims in the country. He stated, as quoted by Antara, after opening the Asian Conference of Religious for Peace, ACRP Executive Committee meeting in Bandung, West Java on Wednesday, that international pressure is ongoing. Vice President Yusuf Kalla pointed out that the result of the May 29 special meeting in Bangkok, Thailand, in the latest international meeting on Southeast Asian refugee crisis, had called on Myanmar to understand the critical situation of Rohingya refugees. However, the Vice President said all countries were also fully aware that resolving the Rohingya refugees crisis could take time. Early AFP reported that U.S. President Barack Obama had urged Myanmar to stop discrimination against Rohingya if the country wanted to be successful in its transition to a democratic country from a military regime, which had been in power for decades. The fate of the ethnic group, which reaches around 1.3 million people and live in western Myanmar, has drawn international attention. Indonesian Tourism Minister recorded that the number of tourists from Middle East to Indonesia has grown significantly. This was expressed by Tourism Minister Arif Yahya on Wednesday. He said that the government pays serious attention to the growing Middle East market. Last year, the growth rate of tourists from Middle East was 26%, or around 170,000 people. Minister Arif said tourists from Middle East and have some particular characteristics in their visits. They always come in groups and spend quite a long time in Indonesia. He also pointed out that their expenditure are high, between $1,400 and $1,700 per visit, or around 22 million rupiah, while tourists from other countries only spend around $1,142 per visit. Minister Arif Yahya added, In order to increase the number of tourists, Indonesia must actively participate in international tourism markets. Indonesia participated in the Arabian travel market in Dubai on May 4th until 7th. On the occasion, Minister Arif met with several potential investors such as Tasvik, MR Properties, Trump Hotel Collection, Dharma Properties, and Paramount Hotel and Resort. This news is coming to you from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Vice President Yusuf Kalla has said that pushing for reconciliation among conflicting factions in several political parties is needed to support national stability. As quoted by Antara News Agency after he opened the Asian Conference of Religious for Peace, ACRP, Executive Committee meeting in Bandung, West Java on Wednesday, he said that the government is hoping stability in the country. He added that stability could be realized through the presence of unified political parties. He also rejected speculation that his efforts to help the reconciliation of conflicting factions in the Golkar Party mainly came from his personal ambitions. Vice President Yusuf Kalla said if he agrees to fulfill a request of reconciling two conflicting factions in the Golkar Party, it is not because of his personal reasons, but it is aimed at creating national stability. Earlier, a political communication expert from the University of Paramadina, Henry Satrio, said that Indonesian political constellation would change following the Golkar Party reconciliation, thanks to the Vice President mediation efforts on Saturday evening. Former Minister of Justice and Human Rights Amir Shamsuddin said that he did not take part in planning the project Passport Electronic Payment System or Payment Gateway, which is in the center of alleged corruption in the ministry in 2014. Amir was investigated by police recently as witness in the corruption case with his former deputy minister, Denny Indrayana, as the suspect. Amir said he knew about 32 billion rupiah project only in the June 2014, when he was asked to sign a ministerial regulation on the project. He said he signed the regulation that he believed the report by the former deputy minister of Justice and Human Rights, Denny Indrayana, that the project had been running well. He said he never took part in the meeting discussion to the project. An aluminium refinery in Sungai Tengar Village, Kendawangan District, Ketapang Regency, West Kalimantan is set to provide 3,000 jobs for local residents. Ketapang Development Planning Board Economic Affairs Head Alexander Wilio told Jakarta Post on Tuesday that the opportunity is expected to have many positive impacts on the region. Alexander said the refinery complex covers various industrial facilities including a port. As many as 3,000 local residents will be able to find jobs in the industry. The plant processes bauxite ore into ready-to-process aluminium. Alexander said since 2013, the Chinese-Indonesian joint venture has planned to build a plant on 1,000 hectare plot of land. The joint venture has put out a total investment $2.2 billion to build the biggest aluminium smelter in Indonesia. The last item, the producer of Chinese villain entitled Hoped is planning to suit in Bali. The company's representatives met with Bali Governor Made Mangkupastika. The meeting was facilitated by Managing Director of Produksi Film Negara, PFN, Selvi Arifin. Selvi Arifin said the decision to be in a medium to groom acting talents. Villains are also very effective to promote tourism. There are many tourism objects that suddenly become very popular because a villain is shot in the location. Thailand is one of the countries that promotes its tourism through villain productions. Besides facilitating the meeting, Selvi also stated that her agency is planning to produce animation films about Indonesian folk tales. She added Malaysia has produced many, while Indonesia has nothing yet. Bali Governor Pastika expressed his support for the plant and even admitted that he is interested to develop film industry in Bali. Bali is home to already famous film locations such as Kuta, Ubud, Padang Padan Beach, and Tanalot Batur. The governor recalled the success of Hollywood film Eat, Pray, and Love, starred by Julia Roberts and was also shot in Bali. The land of God is now having a new nickname, the Island of Love. That's news from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Listener, this is commentary. Is it possible that the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria, or ISIS, have nuclear weapons? The question was raised after the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria, or ISIS, through its magazine, Dabiq, claimed that the organization was able to buy its first nuclear weapons from Pakistan within a time frame not later than 1 year. In a recent article, the magazine said ISIS has rapidly developed so that it is now able to purchase a very expensive weapon. In the article entitled The Perfect Storm, presumably written by a British journalist who was taken hostage by ISIS, John Cantlay, the organization claimed to have millions of dollars in the bank. The money will be used to buy a nuclear bomb from the arms dealers which have relation with the corrupt Pakistani officials. The article also mentions that the arms can be easily smuggled into North America by land or by ship. Such scenarios are still very far from reality, but it is really worrying the Western intelligence and the international community. For Indian Defense Minister Rao Inderjit Singh, possibility of ISIS to get the nuclear weapons from Pakistan is not just a bluff. This concern was delivered by Singh on Monday, June 1, 2015, when speaking to the Global Security Summit in Singapore. With the millions of dollars saving in the bank and with contacts with the Pakistani arms dealers, then the possibility of ISIS to buy a nuclear bomb is wide open. However, would Pakistan be willing to sell its nuclear weapons to militant groups such as ISIS? If Pakistan really does this, it means that Pakistan is committing suicide. Pakistan will be under great pressure and will even become the enemy of the international community. It will also be a boomerang for ISIS, because if they have nuclear weapons, it will also be a boomerang for ISIS. Because if they have the nuclear weapons, then it will trigger a military intervention that is larger than in any other country. Western intelligence agencies will also try as hard as possible to thwart the plan. So, it means that the chance of getting nuclear weapons are still very small. That was commentary.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Welcome to Today in History, a daily segment of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, which brings back people and events from this day in the past as recorded in history. We start from the invention of blood plasma separation technique June 3, 1904. Charles Richard Drew was an American physician, surgeon, and medical researcher. He researched in the field of blood transfusions, developing improved techniques for blood storage, and applied his expert knowledge to developing large-scale blood banks early in the World War II. This allowed medics to save thousands of lives of the Allied forces. The research and development aspect of his blood storage work is disputed. As the most prominent African-American in the field, Drew protested against the practice of racial segregation in the donation of blood, as it lacked scientific foundation, an action which cost him his job. On June 3, 1947, Indonesian Military, or TNI, is officially formed. The Indonesian Armed Forces has seen significant action since their establishment in 1945. Their first conflict was the 1945 to 1949 Indonesian National Revolution, in which the 1945 Battle of Surabaya was especially important. At first, the Indonesian Army started out as BKR, or Badan Keamanan Rakyat, or People Security Corps, which was formed in the 3rd PPKI meeting on 29 August 1945. This was an organization of people taking up arms in a united force to ensure security remained intact. Across the newly declared independent Indonesia, it was created more as a civil defense force than an army. The decision to create a security corps and not an army was taken to lessen the probability of the Allied forces viewing it
as an armed revolution and invading in full force. At surrender, the Japanese had promised to return the Asian domains they had conquered to the Allies, certainly not to liberate them independently. In January 1946, TRI, or Tentara Republik Indonesia, or Republic of Indonesian Army, was formed in a further step to professionalize the army and increase its ability to engage systematically. On June 3, 1947, then TRI changed its name to TNI, or Tentara Nasional Indonesia, Indonesian National Army, which is a merger between the TRI with independent troopers, paramilitary people struggle, or Laskar across Indonesia. On June 3, 2006, Montenegro is officially proclaimed its independence as the last item of today's segment of Today in History. The status of the union between Montenegro and Serbia was decided by a referendum on Montenegrin independence on May 24, 2006. The 2006 referendum was monitored by five international observer missions headed by an Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe and around 3,000 observers in total, the Parliamentary Assembly of the Council of Europe, the Congress of Local and Regional Authorities of the Council of Europe, and the European Parliament to form an international referendum observation mission. The mission assessed compliance of the referendum process with OSCE, or the Security and Cooperation in Europe Commitments, Council of Europe Commitments, other international standards for democratic electoral processes and domestic legislation. Furthermore, the report assessed that the competitive pre-referendum environment was marked by an active and generally peaceful campaign and that there were no reports of restrictions on fundamental civil and political rights. On June 3, 2006, the Montenegrin Parliament declared the independence of Montenegro, formally confirming the result of the referendum. Serbia did not object to the declaration. Dear listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Dear listener, welcome to Voy Green. Today's edition features Environment and Forestry Ministry encourages the improvement of peatland management. Stay tuned. The Ministry of Environment and Forestry encouraged the improvement of peatland management in Indonesia through the National Workshop of Indonesian Peatland Policy and Management in Bogor last Thursday. As quoted by an environmental online media, the Deputy of Environmental Degradation and Climate Change Department, Arif Yono, said that the workshop involved all stakeholders to provide recommendations and alternative solutions in solving the peatland management issues in Indonesia. The workshop is also aimed to follow the government regulation and policies in the effort of improving the preservation and management for the better peatland ecosystem in the future. Yuwono added, the peatland degradation had begun since two decades ago, leaving some awful damage and impacts up to at present. Not only the decreasing vegetation, excessive drainage also caused the degradation. According to Arif, the drainage construction on the peatland was initially aimed to regulate the water works for agriculture, including transporting logs and non-wood products from the forest. But the flooding in the peatland is worsening due to the decreasing peat materials caused by the fire and oxidation and the decreasing depth caused by subsidence as well. The decrease caused a basin depression in the peatland, turning into a lake if flooded. The flooding of coastal peatland began appearing in West Sumatra, Jambi, Riau, and Central Kalimantan. Arif added, Indonesia had put many effort in controlling the damage in peatland ecosystem, including the local, national, regional, and global level. In 2009, through the 15th United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change Conference of Parties in Copenhagen, Indonesian government took a positive effort by conveying the voluntary commitment to reduce emission by 26% in 2020 and 40% with global support. In ASEAN, the role of Indonesia was shown through the ASEAN Agreement on Transboundary Haze Pollution Ratification. In this agreement, Indonesia must not send the haze from forest and peatland fire to ASEAN member countries, especially Malaysia and Singapore. In the national level, Indonesian government issued a primary forest and peatland moratorium policy through the Presidential Instruction or Impress No. 10, 2011, that was extended by the Impress No. 6, 2013, and had just been extended again with the Impress No. 8, 2015. Besides issuing the policy, the government also decided a Government Regulation No. 71, 2014, on peatland ecosystem preservation and management. Arif Yuwono understood that the issuance of several government policies is just one of necessary instruments in the sustainable management and utilization of peatland ecosystem. According to Arif, only with the commitment and cooperation from all parties, the sustainable peatland ecosystem management can be achieved. He also added that mistreatment toward the peatland ecosystem that ignores its characteristics is the source of ecosystem degradation and should be a lesson for all to avoid repeating the same mistake. Listener, that was Voy Green from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Here news in brief, read by Rahmana. An Indonesian Democratic Party obstacle, PDIP legislator Hasanuddin has called on President Joko Widodo to submit the name of a candidate for Indonesia military Tenet Commander to the House of Representatives to undergo screening and to replace General Muldoko is going to get retired on August 1st. Vice President Yusuf Kalla said on Wednesday that international community had continued to put pressure on the Myanmarese government for its discriminatory policies against Rohingya Muslims in the country. Indonesian Tourism Ministry recorded that the number of tourists from Middle East to Indonesia has grown significantly. This was expressed by Tourism Minister Arif Yahya on Wednesday. Vice President Yusuf Kalla said that pushing for reconciliation among competing factions in several political parties is needed to support national stability. Former Minister of Justice and Human Rights Amir Shamsuddin said that he did not take part in planning the project of Passport Electronic Payment System or Payment Gateway, which is in the center of alleged corruption in the ministry in 2014. An aluminium refinery in Sungai Tengah Village, Kendawangan District, Ketapang Regency, West Kalimantan, is set to provide 3,000 jobs for local residents. The producer of Chinese villain entitled Hoped is planning to shoot in Bali. The company's representatives met with Bali Governor Made Mangkupastika. The meeting was facilitated by Managing Director of Produksi Film Negara, Selvi Arifin. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Voice of Indonesia can be heard daily through audio streaming at www.voi.co.id.
You're still tuned to the frequencies of 95 to 5 kHz or through audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. This is Indonesia. Here is Indonesia. This is Indonesia. You will be delighted to see the beauty of Indonesia for free by taking part in Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2015. Answer the following questions. 1. When and where was the independence of Indonesia proclaimed? 2. Who read the proclamation text of Indonesia's independence on the radio for the first time? A. Yusuf Ronodipuro. B. Abdul Rahman Saleh. 3. When is RRI's anniversary? 4. Mention 3 tourism places in Indonesia that you want to visit and give the reasons. 5. How do you listen to RRI World Service programs and give the reasons? 6. What programs do you like most? 7. What are your suggestions for Voice of Indonesia's programs? 8. What is your opinion about the website of Voice of Indonesia? 9. Please write your opinion in brief about Indonesia in 500 words. Send your answer along with your brief bio data as well as copy of your passport or passport number and its expired date to voiquiz2015@gmail.com. voiquiz2015@gmail.com before August 11, 2015. You may be the lucky one to get the main prize, which is coming to Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, it is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesia Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, as well as arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will invite you to have a culinary tour to Aceh Province. Stay tuned. On June the 4th to the 6th, 2015, Banda Aceh City in Aceh Province will be enlivened by the Aceh Culinary Fest 2015. The festival with traditional concept aims to preserve Aceh typical culinary, which will be held at Ratu Safiatuddin Park, Banda Aceh. Themed tradition and culture, the festival will present 100 menus such as Kuah Blangong, Manok Masak Bungong Kala, and Mie Aceh or the Acehnese Noodle. The rare culinary will also be presented at this festival. Also, the legend or story behind this culinary can be read at each time. Listener, Aceh traditional culinary, which is rarely found, can preserve the taste of Aceh typical culinary. One of the rare culinary is Asam Kawang. Asam Jing or Asam Kawang is Aceh typical culinary, which can be found in Central Aceh. Asam Kawang means spicy sour, which has various tastes. The sour, salty, and spicy tastes become one in the yellow sauce. Not only fish, but also shrimp is also delicious to be cooked. The fish which is mostly used is milkfish, but there is also bileh or ankavi, cob, even the kumama or wooden fish. Kumama is fish, usually tuna fish, which is processed by boiling it and drying it. To cook it, generally Aceh people use clay jars, because they believe cooking by using clay jar will be more delicious. But today, many Aceh people use frying pan. Listener, besides using the fish or shrimp, Asam Kawang also uses refined ingredients such as red onion, salt, chili, and curcuma. To produce the taste of typical sour, Afrawa bilimbi or sunti acid is used. Sunti acid is a typical seasoning of Aceh which cannot be found in other regions. This seasoning comes from Afrawa bilimbi which is dried and given salt until dried and brownish. The acidity of this casein highly depends on the number of Afrawa bilimbi or the sunti acid. Listener, to make Asam Kawang is not difficult. The main material, the fish or shrimp, is cooked with seasoning until done. Do not forget to add Afrawa bilimbi. This culinary will be more enjoyable if eaten with rice. So, are you interested in enjoying the Asam Kawang? Please come to Central Aceh. You can find this culinary at stalls and restaurants in this region. The price is also quite cheap. Well, listener, that was our segment Indonesian Wonder featuring Asam Kawang from Aceh Province. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Hello listener, wherever you are, we meet again in Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, which introduces you to vocabulary and expressions in Indonesian language and its use in a conversation. Today's topic is membeli jam tangan, or in English means buying a watch. Stay tuned. As usual, I will introduce you to some vocabularies and expressions in Indonesian which related to today's conversation. I will say every word and expression twice, and you can repeat after me. Membeli jam tangan. Membeli jam tangan, which means buying a watch. Selamat datang. Selamat datang, which means welcome. Toko kami. Toko kami, which means our store. Bantu. Bantu, which means to help. Merek. Merek, which means brand. Mau merek apa? Mau merek apa, which means what brand do you want? Merek apa saja? Merek apa saja, which means any brands. Bagus. Bagus, which means good. Awet. Awet, which means durable. Dua buah. Dua buah, which means two units. Merah. Merah, which means red. Hitam. Hitam, which means black. Berapa harganya? Berapa harganya, which means how much is it? 2 juta rupiah. 2 juta rupiah, which means 2 million rupiah. Now we give you an example of a conversation between a shop attendant A and a buyer B. I will say every sentence twice and you can repeat after me. A. Selamat datang di toko kami. Selamat datang di toko kami. Which means, welcome to our store. Ada yang bisa saya bantu? Ada yang bisa saya bantu? Which means, may I help you? B. Saya ingin membeli jam tangan. Saya ingin membeli jam tangan. Which means, I want to buy a watch. A. Silahkan, mau merek apa? Silahkan, mau merek apa? Which means, what brand do you want? B. Di sini ada merek apa saja? Di sini ada merek apa saja? Which means, what brand do you have? A. Banyak. Ada Seiko, Titus, Rolex, dan Royal. Banyak. Ada Seiko, Titus, Rolex, dan Royal. Which means, many. We have Seiko, Titus, Rolex, and Royal. B. Menurut Anda, merek apa yang bagus dan awet? Menurut Anda, merek apa yang bagus dan awet? Which means, in your opinion, which brand is good and durable? A. Oh, kalau itu tergantung pemakainya. Oh, kalau itu tergantung pemakainya. Which means, oh, that depends on the user. B. Saya kira bagus semua. Saya kira bagus semua. Which means, I think they're all good. A. Jam seperti apa yang Anda inginkan? Jam seperti apa yang Anda inginkan? Which means, what kind of watch do you want? B. Yang ada alarmnya. Yang ada alarmnya. Which means, with an alarm. A. Baik, bagaimana kalau yang ini? Baik, bagaimana kalau yang ini? Which means, okay, how about this one? B. Baiklah, saya beli dua buah, warna merah dan hitam. Baiklah, saya beli dua buah, warna hitam dan merah. Which means, alright, I buy two watches, the red and the black one. Berapa harganya? Berapa harganya? Which means, how much do they cost? A. Dua buah jam harganya 2 juta rupiah. Dua buah jam harganya 2 juta rupiah. Which means, 13 million rupiah. B. Baiklah, ini uangnya. Baiklah, ini uangnya. Which means, okay, here's the money. A. Terima kasih. Terima kasih. Which means, thank you. Listener, that was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for today. Thank you for listening and we meet again next week with another edition of Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. I'm Nuka Kusmawati. Thank you for listening. Sampai jumpa. Is Indonesia. Here is Indonesia. This is Indonesia. You will be delighted to see the beauty of Indonesia for free by taking part in Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2015. Answer the following questions. 1. When and where was the independence of Indonesia proclaimed? 2. Who read the proclamation text of Indonesia's independence on the radio for the first time? A. Yusuf Ronodipuro. B. Abdul Rahman Saleh. 3. When is RRI's anniversary? 4. Mention 3 tourism places in Indonesia that you want to visit and give the reasons. 5. How do you listen to RRI World Service programs and give the reasons? 6. What programs do you like most? 7. What are your suggestions for Voice of Indonesia's programs? 8. What is your opinion about the website of Voice of Indonesia? 9. Please write your opinion in brief about Indonesia in 500 words. Send your answer along with your brief bio data as well as copy of your passport or passport number and its expired date to voiquiz2015@gmail.com. voiquiz2015@gmail.com before August 11, 2015. You may be the lucky one to get the main prize, which is coming to Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia. Hello, listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian original music, either traditional or modern ones. Today we'll introduce you to an Indonesian singer, Uci Wibi, who has been known since 1997. Uci now back to the music industry in Indonesia with a new performance. In 2012, she launched a single entitled Enough, after previously she launched a single, Jujur. Well, listener, let's listen to the song entitled Enough.
Jauh dan
Listener, you have just listened to the song Enough by Uci Wibi, and you're still with us, the voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, in the segment of Music Corner. Most fans or music lovers in the country tried to find information about the existence of Uci Wibi after she launched the single Jujur that has been famous in 1997. According to Uci, she is now exists as the vocal lecturer. In 2012, Asti Asmodiwati, also an Indonesian famous singer, invited her to make a compilation album. Talking about her single Enough, she actually tends to choose the title in English, but the lyric of the song is in Indonesian. The single tells about repentance of her personal experience. Listener, now let's listen to a hit song of Uci Wibi in 1997, entitled Jujur. Happy listening.
Aku bicara, jujur apa adanya. Kau selalu bertanya,
today's edition of Music Corner, we also present a band namely Tricky. To realize the dream entering the Indonesian music industry, certainly by struggling effort, such has been experienced by Tricky personal who has different music genre. The personal are Nazar, who frequently win the singing contest, Rio, the drummer of some artist performance such as Run and Widi Aldiano, Agung, a keyboardist who actively perform in jazz community shows in Bandung, and the strong characteristics of voice of Nazar, a good talent of Rio as the professional drummer, and nice playing of keyboard of Agung, has able to package a single entitled Cinta Mati to be a very interesting song to be enjoyed. Since the band established in 2008, they continue to work, beginning from the change of the name, majority of music concept, personal changes, as well as trying to various opportunities from one label to another. Supporting acoustic creative pop music genre, Tricky believe they would become a new color in the Indonesian music industry. Tricky choose a song entitled Cinta Mati, composed by Trian Wijanarko and Hari Suparjo for their first single. A simple tone and lyric, but interesting, hopefully could be accepted by music lovers all over Indonesia. Well, before we conclude the music corner, let's listen to the single of Tricky band entitled Cinta Mati. Let's enjoy the song and sampai jumpa.
Ku ingin peluk dirimu dan ku ingin cium pipimu karena ku sayang kamu dan memang ku mencintaimu. Dirimu tahu rasa yang ada di hatiku, karena ku mau kau tahu begitu besarnya cintaku. Sungguh mati padamu jatuh cinta, sungguh mati padamu jatuh hati. Kan ku jaga rasa ini selamanya, walau sampai akhir hayat nanti. Biarlah dirimu tahu rasa yang ada di hatiku, karena ku mau kau tahu begitu besarnya cintaku. Mati padamu jatuh cinta, sungguh mati padamu jatuh hati. Kan ku jaga rasa ini selamanya, walau sampai akhir hayat nanti. Sungguh cinta jatuh hati. Kan ku jaga rasa ini selamanya, walau sampai akhir hayat nanti. Oh, ku cinta kamu, cintaku padamu, cinta mati.
Voice of Indonesia can be heard daily through audio streaming at www.voi.co.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.